good to see you here this morning, especially those of you that are visiting with us today who have come to honor your mothers on what is typically called Mother's Day. We're so glad for your presence. Pray that you might come back at any opportunity that you are afforded. And if you are looking for a church home, looking for a place to come and serve God, we want to encourage you to give us the opportunity to get to know you and you to get to know us. And we'd love to have you as a part of fellowship here at the Waverly Church of Christ. You know, when you open your Bibles to the very beginning and you read there in chapter 3, you encounter a woman by the name of Eve. She's given that name because it was a name that meant the mother of all living. And the Lord has much to say in His Word about the responsibilities and also about the rewards of motherhood. Not only do we find numerous things in Scripture, but even when you look outside of Scripture, when you look at literature that our world has produced, that people have produced down through the centuries, you find that there are a wealth of passages that speak about the value of what mothers do in our society. Just a moment ago, Billy read to you from Proverbs chapter 31. Do you realize that that is a passage that comes from a woman? Her name, we don't know her name, we just know she was King Lemuel's mother. And she gave him some wise advice concerning the type of woman he should look for. A virtuous woman who can find her price is far above jewels, or the King James says rubies. And he goes on to describe that woman. He did that, or she did that, over 3,000 years ago, and it was found that it was something that God had placed within His Scripture. Solomon recorded it for us. But today, as you know, our nation officially honors, on this particular day, mothers, the second Sunday in May. What I want us to do is spend our time together looking at one aspect. I would like for us to consider the beauty of a woman who fears the Lord and her value, not only in her family, but also in this church, in the family of God. Because folks, godly women make a great difference in our world. So let's just begin by looking at some things. If you are a mother here this morning, I want to say something to you. There is nothing else that can compare to what you are, to what you've done, and that is to bring a child into this world. Over in John chapter 16, verse 21, John records for us a statement that Jesus makes. And here's what Jesus says. He says, whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But then He goes on to say, but when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. You know, to you as women is given the responsibility of bringing children into this world. We men can't do that. That's something that God has only given to you. And somebody has said that the gift that your mother has given to you, no gift can ever equal that gift. It doesn't matter what you give your mothers today. She's given you life. And no gift that you will give her on this day or any other day will ever come close to the value of the gift that she has given to you, life. You know, the life that you ladies produce is far better than anything that any farm or factory or plant or office could ever produce. If you go to Washington, D.C., you go to Potomac Park, you go to the east side of the Potomac River there, you find there is a marble, granite, and limestone building known as the Lincoln Memorial. Inside the Lincoln Memorial, there is a 19-foot-high marble statue of a seated Abraham Lincoln. This marble statue was carved out of 28 blocks of good old Georgia marble by a family of sculptors known as the Piccirilli brothers. And yet, I don't know how many people over the years have been to see that since it was first unveiled in 1922. But I'll promise you this, and that is that what these brothers have created can in no way compare to what you women have done in raising your children. There have been a lot of books that have been written about Abraham Lincoln. He's been referred to as the great emancipator. And yet, at the same time, I think you women would rather have produced the man than any book about him. And in saying all of that, it was Abraham Lincoln himself who said this. He said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, had something to say about motherhood. Listen to what he says. He says, "When all is said, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright boys and girls who are to be men and women of the next generation, is of a greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman, businessman, artist, or scientist." And yet, ladies, God has given you a responsibility. He has given you a task within the home. And that task is something that you fulfill, or as you fulfill it, you honor Christ. What is the task? Well, one part of that task is that God has called you to look well to the ways of your household. As a matter of fact, that is something that Billy just read for us a moment ago. This is what a mother does, Proverbs 31, verse 27. She looks well to the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. If you look at what Paul writes to Titus over in Titus chapter 2, he talks about in verse 3 what older women are to do. And at the end of that little section in verse 4, he says that you older women are to instruct the younger women. You are to encourage them to love their husbands and to love their children. We live in a culture today that is teaching us that having, loving, and raising children is a burden for women. And yet those of you who honor Christ know that that's not true. It is a privilege. It is a joy. It is something that God has given to you because of what you do in doing that. You know that you can do nothing greater in your life than to take those children and to raise them to love the Lord and to care for your households. That's the most valuable thing that you could ever do in this world. But something else you do that honors Christ too is you still within those young hearts and those young minds your sincere faith. You start looking through the pages of Scripture at different mothers and you find that that was done. You go back all the way to the book of Exodus chapter 2. You run into a woman by the name of Jochebed. She gives birth to a boy. But it's at this time that Pharaoh is demanding that all male children be put to death, of the Israelites that is. She hides him for 3 months as long as she can. You know the story. She puts him in a little basket. She's coated with pitch. She puts it out in the Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter comes along one day to bathe and hears the baby crying. She has the basket brought to her. She ends up adopting that little boy. He becomes the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know him as Moses. But did you know this? That Egyptian princess allowed his own mother to raise him until he was weaned. Don't you know that she spent those precious years instilling within her son her faith in the living God of all Israel, and in the things that God had instructed Israel to know about God's people and about what God was going to do for their people. That's why when we find later recorded for us over in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Because he chose rather to endure ill treatment with God's people. She had instilled those values in that little boy so long ago. You know of another woman. Her name was Hannah. And she could not have children at first, till finally God allowed her to have a baby boy of her own. She named him Samuel. She kept him until she weaned him. And then you know what she did? She took him to the tabernacle. She gave him up for the rest of his life to serve the Lord. But she had instilled within him a desire to love God and to honor God. You see, that's what you do. Another woman is a woman by the name of Eunice. She's mentioned as the mother of Timothy. And in Paul's second letter to Timothy, over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, first of all, verse 5, Paul makes this statement. He says, I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well. How did he come to have that faith, that sincere faith? You know that mom was instilling that within him. Why? Because his father was a Greek. So it came from mom and grandma. Two more chapters over, chapter 3, there in verse 15, Paul makes a statement that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. How did he know the sacred writings? Who taught him? I know it had to have been his mom at an early age, passing on those values, sharing with him the truth of God's word. Mothers, you are honoring Christ as you are doing this. You're instilling your faith within your children. You're implanting the seeds for them to go on and live lives that honor Him who is the giver of all life itself. And I want to encourage you to do that to the best of your ability. You're teaching them how to have a Christian home themselves as they watch you and they learn from you. But then there's affirmation for this, as I said earlier, outside of Scripture. Let me share with you some quotes from just some people beyond the pages of Scripture. Many of you will recognize the name Napoleon Bonaparte, a French statesman and military leader who lived in the late 1700s and on up until 1821, that said this, "Let France have good mothers and she will have good sons." Good mothers produce good sons. Or take what Sir Winston Churchill, better known as the British Prime Minister during World War II, said, "If we want to change our nations, or our nation, began by enlisting the mothers." Get the mothers involved. And then George Washington, first president of these United States, "The greatest teacher I ever had was my mother." You make a difference, folks. Ladies, you make a difference in the lives of your children. Don't anybody ever tell you different. But I also know something, because I saw it in my own mother. I've seen it in my own mother. She's still living, and I'm thankful for that. And that is, you make some sacrifices for that to be true. You know, that is the supreme demonstration of your love, is the sacrifices you've made on behalf of your children so that they can become what God wants them to be. You turn through the pages of Scripture, and we've already looked at Jochebed and how she gave up her son Moses, and we've seen Hannah and how she gave up her son Samuel so that both of them could go on and do great things for God. But let me share with you just two or three others. One, you may remember a woman, we're never given her name, but we're told about her over in 1 Kings chapter 3. Actually, there are two women that come before Solomon. They're the first test of the wisdom that God has given him. Both of them had children at about the same time. And somewhere in the night, not short, not long after the children was born, one of the women actually rolled over, and I don't know if she suffocated her child or somehow her child died in the night. She got up and she took the living baby from the other woman, put it in bed with her, and took her dead child and placed it in the bed with the other woman. This woman woke up in the morning and realized that this child was not living, and then realized, this is not my child. She had to go, they went before the king. She argued, this is my child, she's taken him away from me. The other woman says, no, it's my child. That woman's lying. Solomon ordered for a sword to be brought. He was going to cut the baby in half, give one mother one half and the other mother the other half. Until one woman said, no, do the child no harm. Give it to the other woman. Solomon knew immediately who the real mother was. Because you see, a real mother does not want harm to be brought to her child. She will protect that child, even if it means at times giving of her own life in order to do so. You may remember another story over in 1 Kings chapter 17. This woman is simply referred to as a widow. She lives in the village of Zarephath. It is a place that God has sent his servant Elijah during the famine and the drought that has struck the land because of a curse that God has brought upon it in order to be sustained by this widow. He goes there, and when he arrives there, he finds outside the city gate this woman picking up sticks. He asks her for some water. She says yes. She goes to get him some, and he asks for some bread as well. It's at that point that she turns to him and she says something. 1 Kings chapter 17, there we find it in verse 12. As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in a jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Even to the end of what she thought was going to be her life, she wasn't going to take away from her son. She was going to provide for him as best she could. And then there's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Shortly after Jesus was born, under the law, after 8 days, if it was a boy, they were to be taken to the temple and certain sacrifices, offerings were to be made to God on behalf of that child. Joseph and Mary went into the temple with their baby. They offered the sacrifices. As they came back out, they were met by an older man by the name of Simeon. Simeon goes up to them and takes the baby and holds it in his arms, and then he prophesies something to Mary. He says these words, as we find them in Luke 2, beginning in verse 34. He says, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed." And listen to this. "And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the point or to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Don't you know she kept those words close at heart? She wondered what those words meant. She came to know exactly what those words meant, because she was a mother that was standing at the cross, seeing her tortured son as he was dying for our sins. She gave up that son so that we might have life. What a sacrifice. It's what mothers do when they love. They give, and they give some more. But folks, you and I have a responsibility to these women. Whether we are a husband or a son, we have a responsibility to the mothers in this room today. And that responsibility is that we should rise up and bless them. That's one of the things that King Lemuel's mother said that we find recorded over in Proverbs 31, verse 28. Her children rise up and bless her. It's a command of Scripture. Moses commanded it all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Listen to what he says. He says, "Honor your father and mother, your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that your days may be prolonged and you may go well with you in the land that you are in, which you're entering, which the Lord your God gives to you." Paul would come back later and quote this passage over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. In Proverbs 1, verse 8, Solomon would say something about that. He said in verse 8, he said, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and listen to this, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck." Or consider this one, Proverbs 23, verse 22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Care for your mothers. Honor them. Bless them. We should do it regardless of whether they're living or not. One of the greatest honors that you can bestow upon your mother is to continue to be what she worked to raise you to be, even after she's long gone from this earth, remembering the values she tried to instill, the things she worked to teach us, and honoring her and upholding those things. Because if we do otherwise, we bring grief to our mothers. Three times it's brought out in Proverbs that this is true. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, "A wise son makes a father glad," but listen to this, "but a foolish son is the grief to his mother." Or Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20, where there Solomon says, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother." I don't think any of us in this room despise our mothers. Or Proverbs 17, verse 25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. Let it not be said that we brought grief to our mothers, that we created bitterness in their lives because of the lives we have chosen to live, but let it be said that we uphold their values, we uphold them, we praise them, we honor them, and we bless them. Mothers, your godly character and influence in our lives will mean more to us eternally than perhaps you will ever know. And on behalf of the men and the children that are here, and even the ladies who are here with their mothers, I want to say thank you for that. But there is no way that we can ever thank you enough for the personal devotion to Christ that you have shown in your own life. There's no way we can ever thank you enough for the love for the Lord that you have instilled within our hearts and souls. There is no way that any of us can ever thank you enough because of the sacrifices that you have made on our behalf. But in some small way, we want to say thank you. May the name of the Lord and may the home of our God that He has prepared for us, for you, be ours as well at the end of our days. And if you are a mother here today and you have not given your life in obedient faith to the Lord, please know that it's the greatest example that you could ever set for your children in giving your life to Him. It is the greatest legacy you could ever leave for them. My mother was a Christian. My mother died as a child of God. My mother lived her life upholding the principles of God's Word. If you are here today as a son or daughter, and you have not yet given your heart, soul, mind, and strength to serve the King of Kings, please know this, that it is the greatest honor that you could give your mother today. And I don't want you to do it just to honor your mother. I want you to do it because you believe it's the right thing to do in your life. And it is also the greatest thing that you can do for your soul's salvation. Because you see, without Jesus Christ, we're all lost. I guess my plea to you is, will you not turn from that which holds no promise of any life to that which is life indeed, to that which gives us life eternal? How about it? Yes, it's Mother's Day. But God is the one that gave us mothers. And God is the one that should be ultimately honored today as we live our lives to praise Him through the values that we've been taught by our mothers. If today you need to render obedient faith, you need to confess the name of Jesus Christ to be buried with Him in baptism and have your sins washed away, having turned from those sins. If you need to do that today, won't you please come?